Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This year's virtual Neutrino Day is underway, and it's full of speakers, hands-on activities, and facility tours. One of the featured guests is Gina Gibson. She's a professor of graphic design at Black Hills State University, and she's the first artist in residence at the Sanford Underground Research Facility in Leeds. Her exhibition goes live today, and she's joining us to tell us more. Gina Gibson, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me, Lori.
Let's go back a little bit before we talk about what's happening this week, because as the first artist in residence, that was something that you just had to say yes to immediately, right? You had no doubts when you found out that that was an opportunity.
Yes. Well, I had the opportunity to participate in an art show through the lab in 2013, artists exploring dark matter, basically. And there were about 20 of us, South Dakotan artists, and it planted a seed for me. It was such a fun challenge, and I've always been interested in interdisciplinary work. And I thought, oh, maybe one day I will try to get a residency. And I was looking at other facilities, so this was quite remarkable.
Yeah. What is it about this? Because not everybody connects science and art, or they prioritize one over the other. And this is really the, you know, the coalescing and the collaboration of both of these fields. Why does that make perfect sense to you when so many other people struggle to find ways to make those two fields in synergy?
I think for most of my adult life, and maybe even as a child, I just don't see boundaries as much as I hear other people say they do. I think interdisciplinary work makes sense to me. I've worked on other projects with other people. I always find common ground. And as a teacher, that's something I try to teach my students how to do as well. We have to be open and willing to see other points of view, because that allows us to grow.
Do students come to you needing, like, if you find somebody who's sort of seeing more boundaries or more barriers than you would think is good for them as an artist or as a student or as a scientist, how do you help remove some of those obstacles and open the door a little wider as a teacher?
I think part of it, I think part of it for me is just living by example. I spent the last year very much including my students in the conversation about what I was doing, and telling them about the things that were difficult and the things that were really successful. No project goes without some, stumbling blocks. COVID-19 certainly gave opportunities for trying things differently. Having an online exhibition wasn't what was planned, but I think it will give another opportunity for more people to see the work. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing I would tell my students to see. I'd say, okay, this might be hard, but how do we make it better?
Right. Tell us how you start with this kind of residency, exploring the space, the underground lab for the first time, sort of spatially, and then these kind of connections with the people and the scientists and the ideas. How does that unfold for you as an artist in residence?
Absolutely. It's an honor to be able to go underground. There's quite a bit of safety, other things that I will talk about tonight, too, during the reception. It was, at first, a challenge just because I was trying to get used to being in a space that seemed so different from, you know, my home or my university setting. But again, I found common ground. It was not that far-fetched for me to have a conversation with a physicist, and I'm sort of gleefully unaware of things. I like to read. I like to go to museums. I like to go to talks. I like to sit with people over a coffee and say, okay, how did you get here? Someone who's got a 20-year career in physics that's another professor, it's fascinating to hear how they ended up in a place that's kind of similar to where I'm at. And we're asking the same questions, like, where did we come from? How did we get here? So it was rewarding in the sense of everything that I felt was true as far as, you know, my colleagues and I have more in common than we don't have in common.
As an artist, are you looking for a color, for a sound, for, how are you using your senses to create, you know, to to sort of take everything in and then figure out what kind of art you want to make to represent, you know, like, well, I'm trying to get at process somehow. Let's talk about artistic process. Yeah.
I collect things. So I collect images and objects. And when I have images, sometimes those become, I do some digitally manipulated images, which people will see tonight. I also work with colors. Like there were several, these intense blues and oranges underground because they're safety related. Those made their way into the artwork. And also the foreignness of how the light works when there's an absence of light. It was actually kind of, it was interesting when your headlamp is off and you're standing in a very dark space. It's so rare to have that above ground. So that was challenging too. I was like, wow, this is mysterious. This is the awe that you might feel as a child looking up at the moon. Like what is happening right now? So light was interesting because the absence of it was very apparent. And then when you'd introduce it, whether you're turning on a headlamp or my phone where I'd put on the flashlight, I was very aware of light underground.
Yeah. How about the sounds?
It does sound different there. I kept saying that it sounds, it's almost like echoey at times. I found myself trying to capture soundscapes. So I would ride on the tram or the little train system they have, and I would record that, and I'd ride in the cage, and I would record the sound. And that didn't make its way like formally into the work. It has made its way into my thinking about how I would make the work though. I wanted to capture that in some ways, just how foreign it was, but kind of familiar, if that makes sense.
There seems like there's, to me, this is how I would be, I don't know if this is how you operate, but there's a sense of play to that, to me, that there's a childlike curiosity that sort of makes me want to go, wee, like you get to, did you feel like there was something playful about it, or along with, you know, the sense of awe and reverence and curiosity and, you know, technical, was it also playful for you as an artist to sort of be in that space? Yeah.
I think I'm always two things at one time simultaneously, and that is playful and serious. I think that is my personality, and I've been that way my entire life. I'm that way in the classroom. They know that we will laugh, but I also expect the projects to be done well. Because I do think you have to be, you have to care about your craft. You know, if a student comes to me and says, I spent 2 hours on that, I say, I spent 2 hours thinking about how I was going to think about that. So the idea should be we take our work seriously, but we also have to be free enough to try things and to play. I think play is a great word for it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right. So there is the artist reception from 6 to 7. That's virtual. People can go to neutrinoday.org and find that to connect. And then because of the pandemic, we're hoping that more people will sort of see this, but then there will be a face-to-face exhibition at some point in the future. Will we be able to stand in front of your artwork? Oh, good.
Absolutely. That is the plan. And I built a website for this show specifically called www.seekingtheunseen.com. So that
Wonderful.
Will go live tonight as well.
Okay, good. I was like, I didn't find that, but that's because it's not live yet. Because I was looking, because I wanted to go through some of the work. The anticipation is pretty exciting.
I wanted that to be a part of the surprise tonight.
That was Gina Gibson talking about the opportunity of being the artist in residence at the Sanford Underground Research Lab. You can tune in to neutrinoday.org, 6 p.m. local time. Through 7, and that is for the virtual and live reception. And then her website will go live tonight, seekingtheunseen.com.